Your Bible, please open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and or turn your Bible or iPad. The thing about Bibles and iPads, I'm just assuming you're going to the right place. I know some of y'all might be YouTubing it. Don't do that during church. But anyway, we began last week the series called Why Church, and this is an incredibly, I think, just important series because people have a very poor understanding about the purpose of the church. And I think the church has done a very poor job of teaching what it means to be a part of a church, because the average person in America confuses going to church as your only responsibility. And the Bible actually teaches you are the church. The church is not a building. It's not a location. It is believers who are saved by grace who meet together in a local place to do the work of Christ. And two things happen to you at salvation. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, two things immediately happened. The first one is that you became a new person on the inside. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So at salvation, you become a new person on the inside. Now, that new person needs to grow up. Some of y'all are still in the first grade, but that happens at salvation. And the second thing that happens at salvation, the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a part of the church, whether you like it or not. You can't separate the church from knowing Christ. Now, you can in disobedience, and that's what we're trying to filter through. And last week, I talked about Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 is the first time in the Bible where the word church, ecclesia, is found. And in verse 18, basically, is where Jesus made this famous statement. He asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And he says, you're the Messiah, you're the Christ. And he says, bingo, you got it. And then he says, and he used a little word for Petros, which means little rock. And then he says, upon Petra, big rock, I'm going to build my church. And what he's saying is, my church is going to be built upon Christians. My church is going to be built by people who confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what the church is. And we need to understand that the idea of church itself is Jesus' idea. As a matter of fact, Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, he talks about the church being his bride. And the church is called the bride of Christ. And you know, if someone says they love me but hate my wife, there's a problem. And one of the things that is happening in our culture are so many people are saying, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. And we need to understand that's kind of like a contradiction. Because whose idea is the church? Jesus. I mean, he said, I am going to build my church. And the church are born again believers in Jesus Christ. What's that noise? Air conditioned? Speaker? Okay. Anyway, Jesus' idea was the church would be built by Christians, and it's not built with bricks and stones. It's built with born-again lives. Now, it's a contradiction to say you love Jesus, and I hear it all the time, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Let me just address that for a second. Because everybody in this room, let me tell you, everybody in this room has been hurt by the church, because the church, the only requirement to be a member is you have to be imperfect. You have to be a sinner. We're all broken. And so in the church, it's just, you're going to get hurt occasionally. I've been a pastor, I'll be 65 next month. That sounds really old. Next month I'll be 65 years old, and I have been doing church work for a long, long time. I've been hurt in every church, not by the building, but by people. Now, I didn't go, I'm going to quit church. No, because I know the church is made up of broken people. The best way to get over that is to find a church that is based on the Bible to help you worship and grow and be all that you're supposed to be. And so, but if you're out there looking for the perfect church, not going to find one. Now, my wife sent me a statement. She said, you might use it this week. And I thought it was pretty good. She's always helping me. And it was a statement that said this: we can't be the bride of Christ and a girlfriend of Satan. I kind of like that. So what we're going to talk about this morning is why church. And the thing I want you to understand, the reason this morning for why church, is because we are His body. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians is one of my favorite chapters. And let me just say this, the Corinthian church was a mess. They had elevated the speaking in tongues and the showy gifts, and they'd made such a big deal about it. And Paul had to come back and say, man, you're all messed up. You need to get things together. But in chapter 12, he gives a beautiful picture of the church. It is not a building. It is not a rock. It's not a stone building. It is a body. And I am a body this morning. I have a head, and then I have many parts. Okay? And so to truly understand the church, whether you're a teenager or a child or a senior, to truly understand the church, you need to know what the Bible teaches about church. Okay? So the first thing I want you to see in your outline is that the Bible is very explicit that Jesus is the head of the body. When you look at the church, the most visible person that should be seen is the face of Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it tells us this: Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. So the head is Jesus, the body is you and me. The church is not a denomination. It's not a building. It is the body of Christ. When you choose to not be the church, you're amputating basically parts of the body. So Christ is the head of the church. And the way you become a part of the church is by placing your faith in Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God, who died for you, who died for your sins. But that word head is a word in the Greek that means this. It means the source of decision making, authority, and control. So Jesus, as the head of the church, He ought to be the source of decision making, authority, and control. It's not me. It's not a group of people. That's why it's so important as church members that we're reading the Scripture, that we're learning from the Scripture, because as we begin to read the Scripture and pattern our life after the life of Christ, then we truly understand what it means to be the church. It's we listen to Christ, we do what Christ said. It's not about being Southern Baptist. It's about having Jesus Christ as the head. And also, if you think about it, my brain, my head, is really what controls the rest of my body. And so what should control the church, and when I say the word church, automatically go, Bingo, he's talking to me because I am. What should control your life is Jesus. You are a part of the body, and we need to understand that we are under the direction, we are working for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for us to understand that because He is the one that we are to follow. Now, I love the last part, and I don't want to skip it, but in the last part of that verse 18, it says, now think about this, so He, talking about Jesus, is first in everything. You know, a lot of times we want to order our life and we'll say God first, family second, church third. Wrong. Jesus wants to be Lord of everything. It's Jesus first in your life. It's Jesus first in your family. It's Jesus first in your job. He never asked to be number two. And so, as we're in the church, we need to understand that He is the head, He is the priority, He is the one leading, and anytime you have anyone other than Jesus Christ leading is when you have your problems. So that's point number one. But point number two is this. Believers, people who believe in Jesus the Son of God, believers make up the body. It says in verse 12 and 13, it says, the human body has many, my translation says parts, but let me just put it this way. Put in there for your sake, organs. The human body has many organs. You have fingers, you have toes, you have ears, you have a nose. The human body has many organs. You have eyes, you have, it's not, you don't look at me and you don't go, there's an eye, or there's a nose, or there's a guy with 10 fingers. You look at me and say, there's Bill, that's his body. Every single one of you, whether you like it or not, the moment you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you become a part of the body. And in every community, there is what is called a local church. There's the church worldwide. You become that part of that at the moment of salvation. But when you accept Christ, He also wants to put you in a body called the local church. Now, I don't care what the name of it is. I don't care if it's Baptist, Methodist, whatever. Every born-again believer is a part of the New Testament church, or they should be. And if you look at verse 12 and 13, listen to what it says. The human body has many organs, but many organs make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. We've got thumbs here, we got toes here, we have ears here. You are the body, okay? You get that picture. And then it says in verse 13, some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body and we all share the same Spirit. So here's the picture. At the moment of salvation, you become a part of the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit puts you into the body of Christ. We're one, we're not many. We're one body. When you look at First Baptist, it's not Bill Ashburn, it's not so-and-so, it's Jesus. One body. Okay? You get that? That's the picture. And He also goes on to say, not only are you one body, you're very diverse. You have some who are slaves, you have some that are free. I mean, the church ought to be the most diverse place you can go to. You should not be able to say, there goes a member of a church by looking at them other than their good behavior. Why? Because we're all different. Some of us got saved later in life. Some of us got saved younger in life. We're all different. Some of us have more scars than others, right? But we are all part of the body of Christ because of the Spirit that comes in at salvation. Now, I want you to look at a verse. It's not in this passage, but I want you to go to a little book in the back of the New Testament called Titus. Titus is one of my favorite books. You get to 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, then you get to Titus 3. Because a lot of people are confused about this Holy Spirit thing. And listen, you get saved by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. You don't get it later. You get all of Him at that moment. And He addresses that later on. But look at verse 4 through 7. Because this is salvation. Look at verse 4. It says, "But when God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us." Now get this. "Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." Now look at this next part. "He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit." At the moment of salvation, you're clean from the inside out. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes in. Look at what it says after that in verse 6. "He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through" who? "Through Jesus Christ our Savior. Because of His grace, He made us right in His sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life." There are a lot of people out there trying to confuse people that you get the blessing of the Holy Spirit a second time. But I'm here to tell you, at the moment of salvation, you become the church, and the Holy Spirit washes you from the inside out. Baptism is just where you tell everybody. So we see this, that the true church is made up of believers who trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Third thing. This is so important. Is everybody paying attention? You haven't drifted off yet, have you? Everybody paid? Is this still doing crazy? What is going on? Oh. All right, this is a good part. Can you still hear it? Would it be better if I just took it off? I can scream.